What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I am your host, Charles Wells, coming at you, and we are going to start off the season with week one. We're going to recap Saturday's games from week one. Don't forget, there's two games happening today on Sunday. We'll recap those games tomorrow on Monday. So a lot of swag action. Probably, I would say, is your typical swag week one, lots of non-conference games, lots of disappointment in the non-conference, and a couple good games. One was unexpectedly good, and the other one was probably closer than I thought it would be, but games were actually pretty good. Also, a really good showing from Bethune-Cookman in their FBS game, and an unexpected offensive explosion from Prairie View. So we're going to talk about all of that. And before we do, don't forget, you can check out the socials on the screen down below. So go ahead and check those out. If you haven't done so already, why don't you go ahead and subscribe to the page. Hit that notification bell so you can be alerted to anything that I drop, because I probably will be dropping some random videos in the first couple of weeks of the season, giving some of my thoughts about how certain things are happening with certain teams. I'll probably be doing some videos like that throughout the first month of the season. So don't forget to hit that notification bell so you can be alerted to that stuff that I drop. Also, the podcast, anchor.fm/swagtalk, Spotify, Stitcher, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. So we're not going to waste too much time, man. We're going to go ahead and jump directly into this. There's a lot of games to talk about. Going to, you know, touch on them, spend a little time here and there, and get some thoughts that I have about certain games. So we're going to start off with the game that I feel was probably the biggest dumpster fire game of the week. And it's not who you think it is. It's not Valley. Valley did not, you know, play well in their game. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I say the Southern game is the biggest dumpster fire, not because they lost to Troy, and not even but the margin of victory, because, you know, Southern has historically been a horrible out of conference against FBS opponents. It just doesn't matter who's playing, who's coaching. You know, I didn't go out of my way to predict Southern to win. My main thing was that Southern play well. The score be what the score would be, but put out a good effort. You know, show some progress, and you know, take a good step in the Coach Rollins beginning of his tenure here at Southern, and I don't think they did that. Obviously, the score was 55-3. Southern just did not look good at all to me. Defensively, they were porous. They got beat over the middle multiple times. Offense sloppy. Couple things happened before the game even got started. You know, couple guys did not make the trip. I'm not going to really talk about that because I don't know enough about that right now to talk about. If I get anything, I may touch on that here and there. But definitely just not, to me, not a good outing at all, you know. And that's, you know, that's disappointing. Troy is they have an explosive offense, but they're not really, really good. I don't think they're 55-3. Better than Southern, but they did what they had to do. They had a new quarterback. He was very sharp. Southern actually had a couple stops early on third downs, but gave up fourth down conversions. Offense just could not do anything. And before you know it, they were in a 28-3 hole, gave up a late touchdown right before the half to go in the half down 34-3. And then Troy scores 21 second half points. So not a great start at all. Offensively, Southern had 11 first downs, Troy 28. Southern ran for 81 yards on the night, averaging 2.9 yards per carry. If you're a team that wants to run the football, that just cannot happen. I don't really care who you're playing. That's just not an acceptable number. Troy, 164 yards rushing, 4.2 yards per carry. They did have 5 rushing touchdowns. So one, I guess you can say one positive thing, it is the defense gave up a ton of yardage. They gave up 300 yards through the air on 23 or 33 passing. they allowed two touchdowns and had one interception. I guess the good thing, if you want to find silver lining in this, and I'm laughing because it's not really silver lining, but they didn't give up a lot of passing touchdowns. To say they gave up a lot of completions and yards through the air, which means that a lot of times Troy was able to get the ball deep down the field and run it in. So they, you know, they blitz Southern a lot. They wore them out with their up tempo, no huddle offense, air raid type of offense, and Southern just could not compete. 108 yards passing for Southern, 12 of 21, no touchdowns, four interceptions. Again, turnovers are Southern's Achilles heel in these kind of games. That definitely has to be cleaned up. 189 yards of total offense for Southern, 3.9 yards per play. No fumbles, at least. Troy, 464 yards on 72 plays, 6.4 yards per play. And they want to run like 75 or 80 plays, so they were right on that mark. Southern, 9 penalties for 82 yards. Troy, 3 for 25. Southern, 2 targeting penalties. Guys ejected. So that was a huge factor. Southern, 3 of 11 on third downs. Troy, 8 of 12. Southern, no fourth down attempts. Troy, 3 of 3. Southern, at least they were 1 for 1 in the red zone. Troy, 5 of 6. Southern, no sacks. Troy, 2. You know, time of possession, 27 minutes for Southern, 32 for Troy. It's not a lot to really take from this game. Obviously, when the score is 55-3, it's not really a lot to take from this. The Darius Skelton, 7 of 11, 85 yards, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. Lampley, 4 of 8, 16 yards, 2 interceptions. Taylor Powell, 17 of 28 for Troy, 231, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Devon Ben, 11 carries, 50 yards for Southern. Kamani Vital, 15 carries, 81 yards for Troy, 1 touchdown, longer 37, 5.4 yards per play, per carry. I guess, you know, like I said, one thing, you know, taking little things out of this, Troy, they beat Southern with 1,000 cuts. You know, they didn't hit a lot of huge plays. Their longest pass play on the night was 30 yards. Their longest run play was 37. So not a lot of just explosive plays down the field. You know, no 80-yard bombs and things like that. Just, you know, picking Southern across the middle, 5 yards, 5 yards, 10-yard pass, 15-yard pass, you know. Not any really huge plays. I mean, you know, 37 yards was the longest run. 16 and 17 were the other two longest runs for Troy. Longest passes on the night, 30, 28, 26, and 18 and 19. So not a lot of huge plays, but they just wore Southern out, you know, with the tempo. And Southern not helping themselves by turning the ball over. They threw a pick six. So, obviously, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be worked on. And, you know, there's not a lot of time to work it out. There's not an easy game coming in the next week. But this is obviously a disappointing start to the season for Southern. We'll see how they bounce back. If you want it as a coach, if you wanted to see what you were made of, this is the exact way to find out what you're made of. Obviously, I hate the saying that, you know, all your goals are still in front of you, you know, because you lost in the non-conference. But it's true. You know, Southern still has a lot to play for. They still have some things to improve on. They still have a lot of talent. And, you know, hopefully they can right the ship and get the thing moving right. So we're going to move on from that game and move on to Mississippi Valley against Murray State. Murray State beat Valley 35-0 in a game, again, that was not that close. Murray State ran the ball all over Valley to the tune of 307 yards, 6.4 yards per carry. They ran the ball 48 times, 5 touchdowns on the ground. Valley 99 yards rushing, 3 yards per carry. Passing Valley, 63 yards, 11 of 19, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Murray State, 148 yards, 10 of 18 passing, no touchdowns, 1 interception. Valley, 162 yards of total offense, 52 plays, 3.1 yards per play. Murray State, 4 of 55, 66 plays, 6.9 yards per play. Valley, no fumbles. Murray State, no fumbles. Valley, 9 penalties for 75 yards. Murray State, 4 penalties for 40 yards. Third downs, Valley, 5 of 13. Murray State, 7 of 14. Murray State, 1 for 2 on fourth downs. Valley, no fourth down attempts. 4 of 6 in the red zone for Murray State. Valley never even made it close to the red zone. Valley did have 2 sacks on the night. Murray State also 2 sacks. This game, I feel like Valley just never really got out of first gear. They went 3 and out early, allowed a punt return, but they got called back, and Murray State marched down the length of the field. Valley got the ball back, could not do anything. Murray State scored again. And by the time Valley started to find some rhythm in the second quarter, they still could just not get over the hump. I was surprised at the quarterback they went with, Connor Reagan. I know a lot of people thought T.J. Goodwin would get some burn. He didn't play at all. Jelani Eason came on a little bit in relief. He didn't do much. Just not a good outing at all for Valley. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of room for error, and their offense did not do their defense any favors. And when you're a team, especially like this, that you have the depth, you don't have the numbers, you just don't have the big playability, you really hurt yourself when you're unproductive. And Valley, they were able to hit a couple big plays. Easton threw a 32-yard pass. They did not have any long pass. I was looking at Murray State. I'm sorry. The longest pass completion for Valley on the night was 15 yards by Reagan. The longest run on the night was 16 yards by Reagan as well. So no super, super explosive plays at all. Like I said, they barely got across the 50 most of the night. And it was just a rough outing for Valley. This schedule does them no favors. They got the week off. This week coming up, they play Stephen F. Austin on September 18th. So they have some time to try to fix some things. And this team is definitely going to have to be that can control the football and get a defense a break. That they cannot continue to go out there and not score and get an offense, get a defense back on the field and allow them to keep staying out there time and time again, because they're going to wear it down. And they wore down early because Murray State ran the ball directly at them most of the night, and Valley could not respond. So, again, not a lot to really take from that game. Obviously, Murray State's a good team, and they gave Valley the business. But moving on to a game that I really wish I would have watched some of this game. I'm only going by the stats. But I thought Bethune-Cookman put up a very good outing. They lost 38-28 to UTEP. Bethune-Cookman's a program that in the last few years have knocked off some FBS teams. So they kind of have a way of playing in these kind of games. They were in this game most of the night. Matter of fact, they were down 10-0 at half. They got within 10-7 in the third quarter. 17-7, they were down. They got within 17-14, and then UTEP scored again to make the score 24-14, and they ultimately got a 31-14 before Bethune-Cookman scored to make it 31-21, and then UTEP kind of kept the lead at 17 points, and then Bethune-Cookman finally got it down to 10 with the closing score with a minute and 17 seconds. So they played, they played respectably. They came out, they started slow, but they stayed in the game. Not a really great offensive game for Bethune-Cookman. They ran the ball for 118 yards, 4.7 yards per carry. They allowed 289 on the ground to UTEP, 0.7 yards per carry. Bethune-Cookman did run for 2 touchdowns. UTEP also 2 touchdowns. Rushing, passing, Bethune-Cookman 218 yards, 15-22, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. UTEP 183 yards, 14-23 passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. For 7.1 yards per play on the night for Bethune-Cookman, so that's definitely a positive. 333 yards on 47 plays. Like I said, 7.1 yards per play. They fumbled twice, they lost one. 12 penalties for 102 yards. Again, that's just, that's That's not good. You're not going to beat anybody with those kind of numbers. UTEP also had 12 penalties for 113 yards, so a highly penalized game. This was very sloppy. 24-minute time of possession for Bethune-Cookman, 35 for UTEP. Bethune-Cookman, 4 for 4 in the red zone. Third downs did them in, 2 of 8 on the night. UTEP was 4 of 11, so not great for them either. Both teams had 2 sacks. So Bethune-Cookman, you know, I think they represented themselves well, especially with an offense that's, you know, they didn't have an established guy coming in at quarterback. I think Shannon Patrick's going to be the guy. He went the whole way, 15 of 22, 215, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 2 sacks on the night. He had a 58-yard completion. Quishon Byrd, 12 carries for Bethune-Cookman, 98 yards and a touchdown. So that's another solid night. Ronald Awatt carried the ball for UTEP 19 times, 126 yards and a touchdown. Willie Eldridge also for UTEP, 14 carries, 118 yards. So two rushers going over 100 yards for your opponents are definitely going to be tough. Kimari Everett led Bethune-Cookman with 4 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. Marcus Riley, 5 catches, 72 yards and a touchdown. Darryl Powell Jr., 1 catch for 41 yards. This, you know, I thought this was a good outing. I mean, you know, obviously you can only take so much from this, you know, but they fell behind, but they never quit. They fought and they kept themselves in the game. Honestly, the lead was never really in doubt. UTEP got up by 17, but Bethune-Cookman would cut it to 10, and then UTEP would get it back to 17, and then ultimately a 10-point margin at the end. But they just, you know, traded scores. So, I mean, you fought and you fought, and I think that's a good effort for them. It doesn't get any easier because they have another FBS game next week against UCF. So this probably was the best of the two outings that they're going to have. But this was a solid first game. And I guess if you're trying to show your guy at quarterback, I think Shannon Patrick is going to be that guy for them. And if he can, you know, cut down on the turnovers and the running game can continue to grow, this team is going to be dangerous in the SWAC moving forward. I really think people are sleeping on this team and they're going to be dangerous. And you know, you can say that about almost everybody at this point in conference, because even though, you know, teams are not looking so sharp out of conference, we know the SWAC is an in-conference league, and that's not going to change anytime soon. I'm really feeling like you're looking at a couple years down the line before this league can actually compete out of conference. There's going to be some teams that can step up, but as a whole, it's going to still take some time, and this first week definitely proved that. Moving on to the next game, UAPB. Defeated Lane 34-16 in a game that was pretty close, closer than I thought the margin would be. Bethune-Cookman was up 14-0 after one. They went into the half up 24-16, and they got 10 points in the second half to make the final margin. Not a really sharp game. Obviously, first game, Lane played them tough in 2019 as well, so for whatever reason, Lane kind of comes to play against UAPB, but this was a game where UAPB found their rushing attack, 275 yards on the night, 44 carries, 6.3 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. They held Lane to 20 yards rushing, 19 carries, 1.1 yards per carry, so definitely a good outing on defense and offense with the run game. Passing, Lane was able to find some success. They were 21 of 39, 290 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. UAPB, 18 of 33 passing, 189 yards, 1 touchdown, 310 yards of offense for Lane, averaging 5.3 yards per play. They fumbled 3 times and lost 1. 464 yards for UAPB on 77 plays, giving them 6 yards per play. They did fumble once and lost it. 7 penalties for UAPB for 61 yards. Lane, 9 penalties for 60 yards. Third downs, Lane, 3 of 12, 0 for 1 on fourth down. UAPB, 7 of 16 on third downs, 1 for 2 on fourth downs. 4 sacks for UAPB. They did not allow any. That offensive line continues to protect very well. They don't allow a lot of sacks most years at all. Skylar Perry, 18 of 31 for the Golden Lions, 189 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Rushing, Skylar Perry was the leading rusher on the night, 13 carries, 79 yards. Cairo Britton, 7 carries, 58 yards. Kiara Crossley, 11 carries, 52 yards. Xavier Vaughn, 6 carries, 37 yards. Like as you see, there's no guy who really was a factor in 20 in the spring that got any carries. So they worked in some new guys, and they all had levels of success. Out of that group of guys that I named, Crossley had the lowest yards per carry with 4.7. Britton, 8.3 yards per carry. Skylar Perry, 6.1 yards per carry. So they definitely found a lot of success with the run game to the tune of 275 yards and two touchdowns. Receiving, Trey Harrell led the Golden Lions with 4 catches for 60 yards. DeJuan Miller, 4 catches, 30 yards. Britton, 2 catches, 32 yards. Dawkins, 3 catches, 38 yards and a touchdown. This team is going to be tough. You got to look out for UAPB in the future. Monroe Beard led the team with 7 tackles and 1 tackle for loss on the night. He also had sacks. Javon Gray also had a sack. Watts, Younger, Peppers, and Hamilton each had a half a sack apiece. This is going to be a very good team. I think, again, kind of like Bethune-Cookman, I think they're a team that a lot of people are not really sure on what to expect from them, but I thought they handled themselves well in this game. It was a game that could have got away from them, but they kept control of it, and they found a way to get the job done at the end. Speaking of getting it done at the end, this was the first surprise game of the four. The result, not so much the result, but how it happened. Alabama State defeated Miles 14-13 in overtime. Alabama State scored first on their first drive of the night, Ryan Nettles 1-yard touchdown run. And then they didn't score again until the overtime period. Miles scored in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes and 44 seconds left on a 16-yard pass from 16-yard pass from Jalen Parker. Parker also got a 5-yard touchdown run in overtime for Miles. The extra point was blocked. Corey Merritt scored the touchdown to tie the game up for Alabama State from 1 yard out. And the extra point was good to get them a 14-13 win. I really thought that the first half of this game, I watched a bit of this game. I thought Alabama State looked like they was going to take control early, but Miles just continued to hang around. They just never really could put them away. And ultimately, it came back and bit them at the end. They were able to survive time. Miles ran the ball for 170 yards on the night, 3.9 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Alabama State, 134 yards rushing, 4.1 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Miles threw the ball for 35 yards on the night, 3 of 9 passing, 1 touchdown. One touchdown, no interceptions. Alabama State, 186 yards passing, 19 of 29, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Miles, 205 yards offense on 53 plays, 3.9 yards per play. Alabama State, 320 yards offense, 62 plays, 5.2 yards per play. They did fumble 3 times and lost 2 of the 3. Miles, 1 penalty for 6 yards. Alabama State, 5 penalties for 35 yards. Ugly game, man. But, you know, like you say, you know, you'd rather win ugly than lose pretty. There's a lot of stuff Alabama State is going to have to work on. They were 4-12 on third downs. They were 2-2 in the red zone. Miles was also 2-2 in the red zone. Miles, 3 of 14 on third downs, 2 of 3 on fourth downs. Alabama State totaled 4 sacks on the night. Miles was able to get to the quarterback once. Individual stats ain't much really to talk about in this game because, like I said, it was just an ugly game. Ezra Gray, 10 carries, 67 yards. Ryan Nettles, 9 carries, 42 yards. Corey Merritt, 13 carries, 33 yards. it's still, you know, Jeremiah Hickson had a very good game for Alabama State. He had 8 catches for 92 yards on the night. Keyron Jones, 4 catches for 40 yards. So there's, you know, there's a lot of work to still be done in Montgomery, but, you know, Miles is not a pushover team, and they were able to stay in this game even with a lack of a passing attack and not even a crazy running attack. They just were able to just kind of hang around. It was just like a weird game that never really got out of first gear, and Alabama State ultimately was able to win. The game that I picked as the upset of the week did not turn out that way. Prairie View 40, Texas Southern 17. Offensive explosion from Prairie View. I did not expect 40 points, but definitely a good outing for them. Texas Southern actually had a 3-0 lead, but they just could not maintain the balance of the game. Prairie View ran the ball for 132 yards on the night, 3.5 yards per carry. Texas Southern 93 yards rushing, 2.9 yards per carry. The Panthers got it done through the air. 354 yards, 25 of 37, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Texas Southern 181 yards passing, 20 of 41 on the night, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. 486 yards of offense for the Panthers on 75 plays, 6.5 yards per play. They fumbled 2 times and 4 times and lost 2. 7 penalties for 68 yards. Texas Southern 274 yards of offense on 73 plays, 3.8 yards per play, 1 fumble, and they lost it 5 penalties for 50 yards. So not a crazy amount of penalties in this game. Prairie View 8 of 16 on third downs. Texas Southern 4 of 14, 5 of 6 in the red zone for the Panthers, 3 of 3 for the Tigers. Both teams had 1 sack apiece. Thought it was a very good first game at Prairie View for Juwan Puma-Pass. 25 of 37, 354 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He had a long pass of 72 on the night. Jaylen Brown, not so hot this second starter here. 20 of 41, 181 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Then Damian Brooks led Prairie View with 15 carries for 54 yards, 1 touchdown pass, 7 carries, 29 yards on the night. He had a long of 29. Texas Southern, Ladarius Owens, 9 carries, 46 yards, and a touchdown. Jalen Howard, 4 catches for 136 yards for Prairie View and 2 touchdowns. Antonio Mullins, 10 catches, 131 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Keelan Davis led Texas Southern with 7 catches for 79 yards. Jaron Johnson, 5 catches for 43 yards and a touchdown. Great offensive game from Prairie View. I really was like, the main reason why I was running so hard with Texas Southern in the previews was because I didn't think Prairie View's offense could find any explosiveness. And, man, they were able to. They, like I said, they hit a bunch of big plays, and they were able to have 2 guys go over 100 yards receiving and run the ball, you know, solidly, not tremendously great, but they ran the ball well enough. And the defense did what the defense does. They slowed Texas Southern way down, and they never really allowed them to be a factor in this game. So Prairie View, you know, it's one game. It's a sweat game, so I look at it a little bit different. It's one game. They put themselves at the top of the West Division right now, and I think they can be a factor moving forward. So people are going to have to start to really pay attention to what this team does, because this offense is only going to get better week by week. And the defense is going to continue to do what they do. Texas Southern, I thought this was a good chance for them to get a W, but obviously it didn't work out that way. So we'll see how they bounce back in the future. And our last game of the day was probably the best game of the day. The score was definitely a surprise to me. But, you know, these are the top 2 teams in their respective conferences, at least in the preseason. South Carolina State dropped a very close, tough affair to Alabama A&M, 42-41. Really, I was very surprised by the offensive output of South Carolina State, especially the scoring, because I did not think the offense could keep up. They were able to run the ball for 242 yards on Alabama A&M, 6.5 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns on the ground. Alabama A&M, 143 yards rushing, 4 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. The passing game obviously was the difference. 426 yards for Alabama A&M, 28 of 49, four touchdowns, no interceptions. 14 of 28 for South Carolina State, one touchdown, two interceptions, 213 yards. 455 yards for South Carolina State, 7 yards per play, no fumbles. Alabama A&M, 569 yards, 85 plays, 6.7 yards per play. They fumbled three times and lost all three. There was a couple of tough plays for South Carolina State late in this game, but I really thought this was a very entertaining game. I think South Carolina State definitely handled themselves well in this game. I was surprised by their offensive output, but A&M's offense is definitely as advertised. 3 of 14 did South Carolina State in on third downs. 6 of 14 for the Alabama A&M Bulldogs. The South Carolina State Bulldogs were 3 of 4 on fourth down. AAMU 3 of 3 on their fourth down conversions. Both teams were really good in the red zone. 5 of 5 for South Carolina State. 6 of 7 for Alabama A&M. 3 total sacks on the night, 1 for South Carolina State, 2 for Alabama A&M. Defensively, I think A&M still has some work to do. Corey Fields, 14 of 28 for South Carolina State, 213 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Akil Glass, as advertised, as per usual, 28 of 49, 426 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 1 sack. Fields led South Carolina State with 89 yards rushing and 1 touchdown. Kendrell Flowers, 14 carries, 80 yards, 3 touchdowns. Gary Quarles was able to have a very big night for Alabama A&M on the ground with 22 carries, 129 yards, and 1 touchdown. Shaquan Davis led South Carolina State with 5 catches for 140 yards. Brian Jenkins Jr., 5 catches, 116 yards for the Bulldogs of Alabama A&M, 1 touchdown. Ibrahim, 7 catches, 82 yards. Adu Hilaire, 6 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown. Kendrick Johnson, 3 catches, 55 yards and a touchdown. Big play, Zay Moore, 3 catches, 46 yards. D. Anderson, 2 catches, 37 yards and a touchdown. So that's a guy that just transferred in that's paying off dividends for the Bulldogs in the passing game. And they're going to be tough because this was a very tough game against the predicted MEAC champ. And they fought and they won. Defensively, they did not play great, but the offense did what it was. And I think this is probably what you're going to see from Alabama A&M throughout the course of the season. You're going to see a lot of shootouts that they're probably going to win the majority of because their offense is very tough to stop, let alone slow down. So a mixed bag of games this week. There was a couple unexpected outcomes, a couple expected outcomes, but ultimately a pretty good week of SWAC football. 2 big games today, Grambling, Tennessee State, and the Orange Blossom Classic FAMU, Jackson State. So both of those games are televised ESPN2 for the Orange Blossom Classic, Black College Football Hall of Fame game or whatever it's called, 3 o'clock kickoff NFL Network. So check those games out. We'll recap those games tomorrow. Went a little bit long, so I'm going to go ahead and get on up out of here right now. Everybody enjoy your Sunday and watch some SWAC football. We'll see you guys on Monday. We out.